it seems inevitable that we have to clear our throats every time we do a show, isn't it?
We're over here like...
hacking up our lungs here. I don't know why that is. Maybe there's
a... Do you think we eat too close, like, up to the show time?
I don't know. Maybe. I'm not sure what's going on.
It usually happens with you more with cold food.
That's true.
Than it does with me. Like, if you were to pound some cold food and then try to get on the show, there'd be no way.
That is very, very true. I know. I'm really sort of Ayurvedically challenged, aren't I? Is that the right term?
I like it.
Ayurvedically challenged?
Ayurvedically challenged. How many times do you think you have to press that mute button during a show to, like, clear your throat?
Oh, a little, I don't know. Quite.
Maybe
depends.
Like 20?
No, 15. Probably 15, 10 or 15. But it's weird, though. I don't know what it is. It's somehow you know that you're going to go on the air, so your lungs start producing a little bit of... I don't know what that is. It's very odd. Very odd.
Yeah, well, here we are, though.
Here
and
we
eight
are.
Minutes late is better than not.
We're alive and well. And ain't no guest today.
No, it's kind of fun, though.
Just us.
Yeah.
Kind of cool.
And the chat room.
And the chat room.
Hello, good people.
Hey, is your computer working? Are you able to get in?
Let's see here. As I can't even clear my throat. Let's try to join this chat roll. It's up and going. It wanted to restart itself right before the show.
Oh,
so.
That's right.
I think I'm pretty good.
Think we're good? Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just wondering if we're going to get through everything, because we only have about 90 minutes or so, and we've got a lot to get to today.
Let's try.
It's been a lot to get to. This is episode, what is it, 381?
Oh my gosh, I'm so off my A game. Let me look. 381, you got it.
381. And yeah, so we're going to take good notes for you, extremehealthradio.com/381. And for reference, this is, what is it, Friday, June 12th, 2015.
Before we started, like, where does it go? It was just Christmas, and guess what? I'm already halfway.
Oh, I know.
Golly.
Yeah, where does time go?
I don't know, into the vortex of craziness.
Into the vortex? I like that. Vortex of craziness.
By the way, it is drizzly, foggy, and rainy here this June 12th, 2015.
I know, isn't it?
Yeah, we have this thing for people who don't live in Southern California. People who do will be very well... acquainted with this, but we have this thing called June gloom.
June gloom.
Without fail.
Uh-oh.
It seems like June 1st every year will hit, and all of a sudden, the gray, it comes in like a veil, like a foggy, creepy eye.
It comes in like the fog from Clash of the Titans.
It does. It's exactly like that. And we call it the creeping eye. And then it kind of just lingers the whole month of June. Well, sometimes the whole summer.
Well, now they've got May gray.
Now they have May gray, June gloom.
July, that's their...
Oh, gosh.
They've just yet to become creative enough to figure out.
Oh, they'll figure it out.
Yeah, so I see pictures. Have you seen those pictures from Daniel Vitalis?
No. What do you mean?
He's posting nude selfies all over the place.
What? Wait, what?
Yeah, you haven't seen those?
What are you doing looking at him? Even more disconcerting.
He's a very attractive man, you know?
I mean, he is an attractive man, but worries me a little. What do you mean?
Well, naked? No, I just brought it up because he is in, I think, Maine, and for most of the year, he has, you know, they have really poor weather.
Right.
And he's doing this thing. Let's see if I can go on.
Do remember a few years back, though, the minute the sun hit and it started warming up, he would, like, lizard himself on these rocks.
Yeah.
And he was so excited about it being sunny, which I do not blame him.
Well, he's taking things to a whole new level.
Am I scared? I don't know about this.
Let's go into his Facebook thing.
Okay. Bring
it
up.
Let's see. He's got a hashtag. He's working with a hashtag here.
Okay.
Let's see. Yep.
Oh, no.
Okay. Turn your...
Am I scared? All right. Oh!
Oh, wow. That's a strong, bold man.
he says, another... hashtag naked sun time shot. Storing vitamin D for the winter, increasing my serotonin and improving my sleep. Be sure to get your naked sun time every chance you can this summer and post your naked sun pics soon.
Sweet sassy molasses.
Wow, that is all but revealing.
So the hashtag is naked sun time.
Oh, well, be careful, everyone.
He's going for the rewilding angle on...
Well,
on his selfies. That's okay.
I agree with him. He's not fully naked. He has some... Some cover up there.
He's not wearing a thong or anything, so
no,
that's good. That's always good.
Maybe a leather loincloth. Yeah. But I do agree that isn't there... I mean, there's studies done on getting sun to those areas that we never see that never see the light of day.
So check this out. So why was that photo? So he's got, you know, some photos of him. I'm scrolling down on his Facebook. His Facebook, Daniel Vitalis, I'd recommend following him. He's a cool guy. But he's got some, so that photo I just showed you, I'll share it in the show notes too, this photo, but in case any of you women out there are looking for a half-naked man. But why, so turn the screen out, I'll show you this other photo. Okay. So why was that photo that you saw strange, but then this one is not?
Because they're actually showing more.
They're showing their...
lost posture, why some indigenous cultures may not have back pain, and they're showing these, is it a man and a woman, or two tribal people looking toward a waterfall? People.
Yeah, over a waterfall, and they're with sort of half naked.
Half nakedness. But isn't that, I think it's because maybe we look at those pictures of older cultures thinking that that's just what Native Americans did, or... Aztec people, whatever you're looking at, like different cultures just were more naked back in the day and it was fine.
Right.
Like, I don't know why people wouldn't be easily offended by that picture, because you'd think, oh, that's how we grew up learning about Indians and pilgrims and blah, blah, blah. And they all kind of wore loincloths and ran around naked.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
It's somehow it's some sort of societal issue that people have with our current nakedness.
I think it's awesome that Daniel Vitalis just goes for it on his property, though. It sounds like he has... some sort of bit of property in Maine, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and he just goes for it.
You know what's hilarious with these shows is we've obviously have an agenda with everything we have. We've got a bunch of emails to cover. We've got a bunch of stuff to get to. But I never know where the shows are going, man.
Well, this one, apparently either there's Paul in the chat room. Paul? My. Naked men and drinking urine. I'm kind of getting scared to listen. I agree. Where is this going?
Is that Paul Wright, our friend
Paul.
From Texas?
Thanks, Paul.
That's hilarious.
We love Paul. That is funny.
Yeah, we never know where these shows are going, but it's a lot of good times here.
Well, you did, yeah, I think Paul is referring to your newsletter that went out this morning.
That's correct.
Where you, I really liked that one.
Do you
today
like it?
When you were just talking about the power and benefits of drinking your urine, which we do cover a lot on this show. So there's many, many shows people can go back and hear us talk about that. But
yeah.
I thought it was great.
People think about that and they think that, they just think that it's completely grotesque. And I understand why. It makes a lot of sense, but... I feel like in our culture, don't you feel like we've been so far removed from bodily functions or life and death? Like, we don't even see the whole birthing process has become medicalized. The dying process, it's most of the time, you know, the person's in a hospital and then they're wheeled away and, you know,
you're shielded from all that.
Or we put old people in old folks' homes and we sort of, and then the thing, you know, the stuff that's in between, that's our bodily functions. We demonize and we make
fun of. Yeah.
It's weird, isn't it?
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We're not very comfortable. Was that Daniel Vitalis, I think, who we had an interview with that we were talking about that very thing? Just kind of the taboo. I think that might have been some of the taboo stuff he was talking about. We live in this culture that's just not comfortable with these things, you know?
Yeah.
Mm.
The intrinsic taboo. Yeah, we'll link to that one. But... I have to say, Baby Kate.
What? Baby Kate.
Baby Kate.
What? I'm scared. Where else are we going with the show? We're only 5 minutes in.
We're only 5 minutes in and we're already causing all
kinds
of damage.
9 minutes in. Yeah, what's up?
Collateral damage. Have you done the old urine therapy yet? Have you tried?
Oh, I'm embarrassed. Well, first of all, I laugh that Paul in the chat room says, Kate, do you still kiss him in the morning?
now that
I have read that email today, not so much.
I love that you have to find out about me through our newsletter.
Dude, this happens all the time.
What? I never knew you did this.
I know you did it, but I didn't know you actually did it first thing in the morning. So right on, Paul. I might be stepping back for a while.
Well, a couple of our listeners and personal friends we've known through the show, what are their names? Josh and Sarah.
Oh, Josh and Sarah.
He told me at Bergman Chiropractic, which is who is our chiropractor, highly recommend checking him out. We'll put a link to his, he's been on the show a bunch of times. Great chiropractor. But he told me that he recycles almost all of his urine.
That was a trip. How does he even do that?
How do you even do that? Right?
I don't even know what to say about
that.
How do you?
Maybe you.
Are you storing it in jugs like our guest Steve Williams did?
Steve Williams, yeah.
Huh.
Bizarre, right?
Yeah. No, I'm embarrassed to say. Yeah, it is bizarre. I'm open to anything at this point, but no, I am embarrassed to say I have not done it yet.
You know what's funny about that statement?
Why?
Is that right now on the air, live broadcasting all around the world.
Mm-hmm.
It is just funny to hear you say that because it's the only context in which you would say that. Because could you imagine?
Usually you say, I'm so embarrassed to even think about that or try that. I'm embarrassed not to do that. I haven't done it.
Could you imagine if family and friends heard you say that?
No.
I'm embarrassed that I haven't tried my own urine. That's hilarious.
The things you never think you'd be saying at all, let alone on the air. But
isn't that funny?
No, you know what? I know that is funny. The only reason I say that, though, is because I've been having the intention of that for the last year.
Right.
And I think it's not holding me back. I'm not afraid to try it. It's just that I have all these other protocols and things that I've been working on. I know it's such a silly, easy thing to add in, and I should be doing it, but I've just been kind of overwhelmed in the land of figuring out what the heck is going on with my body.
Yeah.
It's not an excuse other than I just haven't made the time and I haven't taken the energy to put more intention into things that I haven't had like more energy for.
Yeah.
Does that sound funny?
But, well, there are only a certain amount of things that we can be comfortable with, and do and adopt new into our life. And you can't do everything
right
in a day, you know?
Well, I feel like there honestly is a list of about 20 things I do every day, mm-hmm. pretty much without fail. So I know that's a silly little, you know, 2-minute thing that I should add in, but it's just adding another thing in that I would want to be committed to. And to be honest, my energies has been going toward just kind of getting my mind wrapped around what I'm dealing with. So
yeah.
I'll be there. I'll let you know when I try it, and I will announce it on air.
You know what? You drink your urine on the air.
Oh, wow. Is that
that's pretty gross.
Is that
you'll go down
is that a dare?
Urine highway.
You are funny.
No, but it is very, very powerful. And I did write about it in our newsletter, if you guys are interested. By the way, if you're interested in our newsletter, it's a great way to keep up to date with our shows. And we've put together a little thing on our website if you want to check it out. You can text Get Healthy to 33444. Get Healthy, all one word. Get Healthy to 33444. 33444. Sorry about that. And you can sign up to our newsletter or just go to extremehealthradio.com/subscribe and you can sign up to be a part of that. And I
think people should follow us on Instagram.
Instagram.
We're under Extreme Health Radio, just like it sounds.
Are we Extreme Health? That's our handle, right?
Our handle. It's fun. I mean, our pictures aren't like the most amazing pictures and we're not photographers, but man, we have fun doing it. We just take pictures of our daily journey of what we eat or where we go or things that stuck out to us. Today I posted one. Let's see. I was on my day planner this morning, my Danielle Laporte planner.
Uh-huh.
And it's cool. At the bottom of each page, she posts these things that that she makes up. They're not like quotes from anybody else, just her thoughts. But it says, passionately protest mediocrity. And I just thought that was a great reminder for the day.
Passionately, what is it?
Passionately protest mediocrity.
Passionately
and I thought, wow,
mediocrity.
That's something that stuck out. So I Instagrammed it. So follow us on Instagram. It's fun.
Hey, you Instagrammed that photo?
Is that a word, Instagrammed?
Well, it's like Facebooked.
Yeah, or texted. I texted.
Is that what you did? How do you resend out or repost someone else's Instagram?
I have no idea.
Isn't that what you did, though?
Oh, no, I took a picture of it from my planner.
Oh.
Yeah, no, I'm not that techie over there,
yeah,
Stelman.
We're not. Sweet dreams, Stelman.
Sweet dreams, Stelman.
Yeah, Instagram's fun, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it.
You know, speaking of social media and Facebook, we're going to get to a little thing that you've taken quite a bold step lately in just a second. But I want to tell people also, if you guys are not familiar with a couple of these great summits that are coming up, if you guys aren't aware, these summits that we talk about are all free and really awesome. They're just really, really great information for people. And I know the guy, Sean Croxton, former guest, episode 13, I think, or 17, former guest Sean Croxton is putting together the Depression Sessions Summit. And there's 22 medical doctors, naturopaths, nutritionists, holistic psychiatrists. And they're all talking about anxiety and
insomnia.
Insomnia.
Because I saw the insomnia part, I thought that was a huge thing to add in because it's not like people might think, oh, I'm not depressed or oh, I'm not anxious.
Uh-huh.
But any one of those three things is kind of like, well, you might have one, you might have all, but they're so interlinked from what we've learned. So.
And we got this kind of leads me off in a different path, but we got a voicemail this morning.
Oh, did we?
Yeah, from someone from Mexico. Crossroads.
Really?
And she wanted to know the clinic that we talked about where people can beat their addictions.
Really?
So I sent her a text back through Google Voice. I'm not sure if she gets it.
Okay.
But it's crossroadsibogaine.com, and we'll put a link to that. That kind of goes along with the depression sessions. But sign up to these newsletters, because they're super cool. I mean, not newsletters, summits. They're super cool.
And they're free.
And they're free. Depression yeah. Sessions with Sean Croxton, a good friend of ours, and the Future of Healing Conference, where there's going to be like 70 people talking on eating psychology, nutrition at the edge, culture and transformation. Daniel Vitalis is in it. I don't know if he's naked or not.
Okay.
We'll find out whether or not he's going to be fully clothed. The new sexuality, planetary healing, supplements, herbs, and medicinals, spiritual awakening, which is what we're all about, great minds and possible futures. And this one looks really cool too. So if you are signed up to our newsletter, forward our newsletter on to, you know, family and friends in case they want to sign up to that too.
How long does it last for, that one? Do you know?
I do. They're both coming up. Depression Sessions is June 14th to June 27th.
Okay.
And the Future of Healing is June 22nd to July 6th.
Okay.
Are you putting that in the old chat room?
Yeah, no, I didn't.
Okay.
I am writing something. Do you want me to
write? No, oh, that's fine.
Okay.
We'll put that in the show notes. So, yeah, really quickly, let me just go to one of our emails here. I want to make sure that we don't double coverage something here.
Double coverage?
Double coverage. Okay, let's see here. So, yeah, that was the latest summit. Really quickly, I wanted to get to you're making quite a bold decision here.
What?
Very bold.
I don't like the way you're talking to me. Puts me on the spot.
It puts you on the spot.
What? My Facebook?
Yeah.
Peace out, Facebook. Yeah, what? It's not my bold decision. You've done that. You followed suit.
I know. Whose decision was it first? Was it me or you? Or I think we both were.
I think we got really fired up about it one time, just talking about it and about quitting Facebook.
Yeah.
And yeah, has it been a couple of weeks for us now?
Yeah.
Not quitting Facebook with our Extreme Health Radio profile, but right. Our personal profiles have now been, what did I say, suspended
disabled?
Or they will be
Is it disabled?
Disabled
or suspended?
I think it's disabled.
You know, it's really interesting when you do something like this, because there's a lot of reasons why we did this. And I have to say, this is bad. I would encourage you guys to get off of Facebook. And this is really bad in terms of what anyone would tell you if you're trying to grow something and social media is so great and all this stuff. But I say, you know what, just get off of Facebook. If that means that you don't see our updates, then so be it. You know, I just don't think it's good. I don't know.
We've come to a lot of conclusions. Yeah, what are your biggest bones to pick with Facebook?
Well, one of the main reasons why I got off my personal site was to, I think it does something that's negative to your neural programming and your ability to take in information. If you look at the amount of information, I think there's some study where there's more information that's being put out into the internet every 3 or 5 days
okay.
than has existed for like thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much data that gets put out into the internet every single day. And I just don't think you can, I don't think you can deal with it. It's too much information, I think.
It's total overload.
And it's weird because there's something that happens to you when you see what all your friends are up to.
Mm-hmm.
What happens when you're scrolling through your feed?
I don't know, but I started getting like almost like a heart beating anxiety. I felt like I couldn't give up after one. Like, you can't just look at one person's post and not keep going. I had to like see what the next one down was and the next one down was.
Totally.
And half this stuff is just stressing me out. I felt like I had to reply to everybody. I felt like I had to like something. I felt like it was just information that I didn't, some of it added to my life. Most of it didn't, you know, of what people's kids were doing. And that stuff's all great. And I care about people and I love their kids, but why can't we just meet for a juice or a lunch and catch up in real life and having to see them post like, you know, every single day about their kids.
And do you get frustrated with people and what they post and what they're saying on Facebook? 'Cause that's kind of
Yeah, I think the content can be kind of weird. And then I think there's the whole privacy protection part of it. I mean, when you put anything out there, you don't own it anymore.
Right.
So, you know, even on our own Facebook page for Extreme Health Radio, right, we don't post a lot of personal pictures and a lot of, it's fine because you want people to connect with you and us and you want people to know, right, we're real people and stuff, but we're not, you know, when we have a kid, I don't think we're going to be posting our kid's face all over the place. And I don't know. I think there's just a danger aspect to it too, besides the fact that I'm just annoying. And you know, I wrote an article about it. I had a friend request from somebody who,
oh yeah,
I had some issues with about 2 years ago. We got into a little bit of a tiff. She used to be a really, really good friend of mine. And she ended up unfriending me, if you want to say that. Unfriending.
Well, give a little bit of the background. So people know.
Well, we'd been friends for like 10 years, done a lot of traveling together, had a great thing going. She went through a really bad divorce. I was very supportive through the whole thing. Right. I mean, the background is that I probably gave more than a friend should have and could have, but I felt like I was one of her only main support systems at the time.
Right, right.
So then we were getting ready to go a couple of years ago to the Dominican Republic for our Dayton.
That's right.
Medical, what do you call that?
Dayton Medical Retreat.
Retreat.
Yes.
And she was supposed to come and watch Maggie. And it was one of those things where it's like 3 days before I checked in with her to say, hey, are you going to be able to, you want to come over and we can talk details? And she,
and by the way, it's
this
really,
is all over text message, by
our,
the way.
Our dog is just so crazy. So it's challenging to get someone who understands all the different things that we have to do to make sure she's okay. And all
it's
that
a,
stuff.
It's a big, yeah. She's a high maintenance, yeah, dog.
Yeah.
But basically the text got very snarky and was like, she was going to bail out last minute. And it was just mean. It was very mean hearted, mean spirited. I didn't understand. I tried to work something out with her where I just didn't understand the reasons why. And then she started hitting really low. It was like, I don't understand what's wrong with your health anyway. Like, you've been struggling for years. What is wrong with you? Like, very snarky, very mean, mm-hmm, not like a friend. You know, friends understand when friends go through things. Like, I had been that huge support for her for those horrible years going through her divorce.
Right.
And it's like, wow. She had no compassion on, you know, I didn't even talk about my health all that much other than when I wasn't up to doing something.
Right.
I wouldn't be able to follow through on a commitment. And you'd think that a real friend would understand that, you know,
yeah,
if I was low on energy or not feeling great or, I mean, 'cause there was times I was literally having to lay flat out on my back, like in a car going somewhere because my organ pain was so bad or,
right,
you know, just to have somebody react like that was just ridiculous.
And so what happened? So, she,
so anyway, she unfriended me. She unfriended you, all the stuff on Facebook. So just last week or last month, I get this friend request and it's like, she wants to add me as a friend. And I'm thinking, that's just not the way things are done anymore. At least that's not the way I'm doing things. If you're trying to be my friend again, call me up, send me a letter, try to talk to me. Just don't try to think that you're going to send me a friend request. I'll accept it and that we're, quote, friends again. That's just really silly.
It's a weird world we live in, isn't,
yeah,
it? Where people think that it's just this digital age where people can sort of skip around and sidestep the hard work it takes to be someone's friend if that's what you choose to do, you know,
yeah,
what I mean? It's like, you know, she should really call you and not just send you a friend request.
Well, I think so. I just think that's silly. I just think that it's you know, it's that disconnection that we're all having, just thinking that you can press a button or say something and it can either make or break a situation.
Yeah.
That it's never been like that before. If you had an issue with someone, you know, 100 years ago or even 50 years ago.
Yeah, you actually go physically talk,
yeah,
to them.
Yeah, either physically talk to them. If not, then you make a phone call if that's available or you write a letter or something. But yeah, it's just inexcusable to me. And then people are mean, I have to say.
Yeah.
Like right now, I don't know, did you see the mean email we got in?
No, that's the new...
This is all in capitals. Someone writes in, oh no, not all in capitals. It's very large. Life is busy, people are sick and trying to get well, and you two talk and talk and talk to each other and say... capitalized nothing. 20 minutes into the show and I'm giving up, .. And I just think that's mean. I will say it. I think when I just saw that right now, I thought, wow, this is our one Free For All Friday show who a lot of people really like and enjoy.
Yeah, yeah, people
and
like
this
them.
Is us not having a guest and doing our thing. So I just think mean people just need not reply. And
yeah,
I don't think I'm going to be replying back to them.
Life is busy. People are sick and trying to get well. And you two talk and talk and talk and talk to each other and say nothing. Well, the whole point of our Free For All Friday show, 22 minutes into the show and I'm giving up. You know, the whole point of the show is, you know, we're talking as if we're having a great conversation in our own home. And, you know, if people don't like it, then that's okay. I mean, we have so many interviews with guests, and our Friday show is our way of just sort of having fun and talking about the guests and talking about what's going on in our life. And so I know what you mean, though. It's like life is busy. People are sick and trying to get well, and you two talk. I mean,
that's an opinion. That's fine.
It's an opinion, but gosh, like.
Like, well, I don't understand why, and that was in reply to a newsletter that you said will be going live at 9, so obviously she doesn't like this conversation.
Right.
And that's fine, him or he or she, whoever. Yeah. But that's the kind of thing with Facebook or social media. It's just a really bad excuse to hide behind saying mean things. Why do people take the time? I mean, I get that they have an opinion and that's fine, but I just think it's rude and I'm done with being mean. And I think people are just too mean these days. They're really not nice. I'm not saying this person's being mean, but it's just such an easy way to just throw your opinion around and not think about the work also that goes behind all this and the fact that a lot of people do like it. And you know what? People have gotten such great information from our Free For All Fridays that they've written letters that have changed their life because we talked about a guest or a show we had or... So I say, you know, well, that's fine. Don't listen. You know?
Yeah, I'd rather people like that don't listen because it's not. I don't know. It's just not for me. It's like we're on a spiritual path and we're on a health path and we're doing our best and trying to really offer information that's going to help people. And so, if people don't like that, then, you know, they should go and listen to someone else's show.
I find it interesting that our show, we try to make it. I think our main goal is to, like you said, like shed light on health and wellness and spirituality. And you think the people that would be drawn to our show wouldn't react in such weird ways.
I know,
ways.
Right? It's funny.
That's what's hard, you know?
Well, look at this email from Steffi. She calls herself the Italian in Sweden. Justin and Kate, keep doing the good work. You inspire me. I started listening to Podcast 80 at the beginning of your journey as a radio show host. I have to say, it's a pleasure to see you both grow up and develop at a professional as well as personal level. I'm developing too in my life. You inspired me to change my career.
Oh my gosh.
I work at the hospital as a cyto screener, search for cancer cell in the microscope. Now I've become an alternative health freak. I studied to become acupuncture and colon hydrotherapist. Think most of the diseases start in the gut. I hope to meet you live someday in this life. Maybe you'll come to Europe sometime or I'll visit California. It would be nice. Have a super nice day. Keep up the great work. Keep safe and take care.
Oh.
And so it's like, you know, I think that one of the things too, that's, it's been a real, it's interesting when you put yourself out there and do things, some people are going to like it. Some people are going to hate it. And it's one of those things that you know intuitively going into something, but it's really a crazy lesson to learn that as you go through it. To not really hold too much attachment to the good and the bad. That's what I'm trying to...
Either way.
Yeah, because we've gotten emails like this, Stephanie in Sweden, where our show has completely changed their life. And then we get this email from this lady, whatever she says, about how she, you know, we just ramble on and talk about nothing. So it's hard. It's challenging. I shouldn't say it's hard. It's challenging to not... take on either side. You know, if people change their life and do that, that's obviously what we're all about. And if people hate us and they write us horrible emails, then that's, it's challenging though, isn't it?
It is, not to be attached either way.
Because there's so much that we put into this show, but it's hard to not take it personally. But that's part of what Don Miguel Ruiz says in The Four Agreements, is to don't take anything personally.
What a challenge, what a journey, because... It's funny. It reminded me of something you said when you headed off to the gym the other day to work out. You said, you know, every time you leave, you get really excited thinking when I come back after 3 hours, you know, there might be, it's kind of fun to look, oh, whatever, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Yeah.
It might be really, you said, oh, it'd be so cool to come home to some sort of a sale, like, you know, just people that want to support our show and buy saunas or rebounders or whatever. And then you said, well, why am I so concerned and attached to the idea of there being something like that to come home and make or break my day, you know?
If
I come home and there's nothing or there's a mean email, why should I feel any different than if I came home and sold 900 saunas and kept the show going, you know? It shouldn't matter. It does because we're so human and we're so attached to those emotional charges.
I know.
But why? You're exactly right. Like Don Miguel Ruiz, that book is so amazing of him. If we can really wrap our mind around not taking anything
personally,
then... we're able to let go of all that stuff.
And being attached to the outcome or being attached to any outcome limits, if we are like what David Icke says, all possibility, then, you know, having an attachment to a particular outcome or a particular way you get to that outcome is all of a sudden limiting your ability to be, you know, have greater success or greater influence or greater impact because you're saying, I need to be this or I need to do that or this has to happen in order for me to be happy, you know, and we're just it's really challenging to not let our own mind get in the way of putting us in a limiting belief.
Yeah.
Speaking of saunas, I want to thank Larry Thiessen, who ordered a sauna yesterday, and we're going to be shipping that out to him very soon.
Very cool.
So thank you, Larry. Appreciate that a lot.
Hope you get it before it's nice and does it get really toasty in Michigan?
Well, it's still probably...
Or is it Missouri? Michigan?
That's Michigan, right?
I think so.
Yeah, Michigan. Yeah, so it's challenging, isn't it, to not allow things to have an attachment to you.
Oh, it's really hard. Especially coming from very empathic people. We are both very empathic where we take on, you know, a lot of those emotions and energies and charges and talk about, man, I have had really personally to change a lot and develop a thicker skin, but try to, like we say, stay soft as well because...
Oh, man, I know, right?
It really is a challenge. I have to thank real quick to the latest patrons we have.
Oh, cool. Hey, do you care if I turn on the thing?
The air conditioning?
Yeah, is that cool?
Yeah, go for it. Thanks. We have Mr. Andrew. I don't know how to say his last name. Showborough. These are our monthly new latest patrons. Michael Rankin, which was just amazing. Chris Bonsness, Mark Anderson, and Albert. Again, we thank him because he was the one we talk about, that 20 cents a show is just huge.
20 cents.
I have That's to say, awesome. Mark Anderson, you rock. He pledged $1.11.
$1.11.
How cool is that?
$4.44 a month.
That is amazing. Hilarious. And then we have this other one from Chris. It was $1.36. What does that come out to?
$5.44 a month.
Isn't it funny? People are sending us messages.
Numerology.
It's great. And then we have the latest Facebook shares. I just want to say thanks real quick to these people. Rex Berrien. I'm going to mess up these names. Narinder, Peter, Roger Ferdinand.
Who are these people?
Our latest Facebook shares.
Oh, thanks for sharing our
stuff. Ravdeep, Sylvia, Linda Howard, Sophia Brown, Wayne Martin, Katrina Schultz, Irina, Amita B., Iva, Janet Squire, Dan Napney, Geneva Hampton, Gail Kinney. That is awesome.
Nice. So they shared our stuff on Facebook.
Yes.
Or whatever, our posts and stuff.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah. And we got a really great iTunes review. So this is on a happier note.
Wow.
Yeah. From the Raw Organic Mechanic in Canada.
Oh, hey. He's written for our website.
Oh, yeah. He has some articles up.
Yeah. By the way, if you guys are interested in writing for our website, we are now offering that. So we'll be putting links for that very soon.
It's pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, if you want to contribute unique articles. Because he's written for our site a couple articles.
I think a couple, right?
Yeah.
That guy's cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he said, for the latest iTunes review from him, he said, one of my favorite health podcasts. I have followed Kate and Justin since the first episode. Such an amazing show. Must have on subscribe. You won't regret it. That's very nice.
A little different take than our email friend, huh?
Yeah, that's okay though, right?
That is hilarious. Well, that's cool. Thank you, Raw Organic Mechanic. Is that what
Very cool.
That's cool.
Yes.
Yeah, that is very cool. Got an email here from Gus. He says, thanks, Justin. Has anyone used the... Maybe people in the chat room can help with this one. Help with Gus.
Ooh, okay.
Has anyone... Or you might know too, Kate. Has anyone used the IMD product? Curious to hear how well it works. Personally, I did well with EDTA chelation, but not so well with DMPS chelation for mercury. My gut is very sensitive, and I believe that mercury plays a big role in this. Cheers, Gus.
Oh, gosh.
Have you heard of the IMD product?
You know what's funny? With all of the mercury reading I've been reading up on, I think I've heard of it, but I can't tell you what it is and how it differs from the other main two.
Maybe some people in our chat room. Our chat room is going crazy right now.
Because I'm right in the middle of dealing with this metal thing, mercury. Uh-huh. So I have not tried it personally yet. If anybody in the chat room knows, please...
IMD Intestinal Metals Detox Protocol, Dr. Vitamin Solutions. IMD Intestinal Cleanse. Oh, interesting. Distributed by MHP. Quicksilver Scientific has developed a sophisticated detoxification system based on enhancing the natural removal of metals through the intestines using a proprietary compound. IMD, Intestinal Metals Detox.
Hmm.
The Intestinal Metals Detox is a proprietary product that consists of highly purified silica carrier with covalently attached metal binding groups. The metal is insoluble and functions to bind heavy metals in the gut so they can be safely eliminated with the bowels.
Hmm.
This prevents both absorption of the heavy metals and the generation of free radicals catalyzed by the metals. In fact, the product can also directly neutralize free radicals in the gut, and this may play a role in damping gastrointestinal inflammation. Both the silica base and the binding agent are GRAS, generally recognized as safe for use in food, but since the binding agent is firmly attached to the insoluble silica, it is not absorbed and thus not bioavailable. The product contains no known allergens and no allergic reactions have been reported to date.
When did that product come? That's probably where I saw it when I was on Quicksilver, because I just did their mercury tri-test a couple weeks ago.
I'll put a link to this in the chat room.
Does it look expensive, do you know? Or does it have a price on that?
Let's see. Just sharing that in the chat room now for people. Let's see. Does it say detox kit? It doesn't really say.
Okay.
Wow, they have a whole thing. Interesting.
I'll tell you, this metal journey, it's the most... Was it Gus who wrote in?
It was Gus, yeah.
He said that he hadn't tried it, but he was curious about it because he didn't do well with DMPS or DMSA. Is that what it was?
Let's take a look here. Yeah, he says, has anyone used the IMD product, which is what I just read about? Curious to hear how well it works. Personally, I did well with EDTA chelation, but not so well with DMPS.
Okay.
Weren't you going to do DMPS?
Yeah, that's what I'm considering.
Not so well with DMPS. My gut is very sensitive, and I believe the mercury plays a big role in this.
Interesting. Huh. Gosh, that's the thing. It seems like all the people that have written in following my journey with the metals and mercury and things like that have all reacted and not reacted well or bad to different things. So it's kind of like we're all a big science experiment figuring out what works for one person. Like our friend Adam, who I want to speak further with, he's the one who originally told me about Andy Cutler's protocol.
Oh, right.
And I ordered that book, The Amalgam Illness.
Uh-huh.
So that's cool. And I read it and I've been reading parts of it, read most of it. But Adam said that he personally did really good with the alpha-lipoic acid alone,
ALA,
and not with those other two things, which most people do a combo of two or three of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like he tried this combo, he tried that combo, he tried two different things together, and then he realized he probably just did better with the one. So again, it's like, wow, it might take months. It might take feeling really crappy and horrible on one thing and then great on another to really figure it out. It's a journey, man.
Check this out. This is kind of goes along with the metals and things like that. For those of you, I mean, we've got kind of just thrown into this whole metal world, heavy metal world, not the hair bands from the 80s, but the heavy metal world from toxins and toxicities. And it's incredible that we're exposed to what we're exposed to. But this is the top 12 toxins to avoid if you're pregnant, according to Dr. Mercola. Lead... And it affects the cardiovascular, developmental, gastrointestinal, digestive, mucoskeletal systems, neurological, ocular, the urinary system, kidneys, reproductive systems. That's just lead. Mercury, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Developmental, it affects kids when periods where their organs are developing, get digestive issues, neurological, nervous system issues. Ocular, renal, and PCBs is the other one. Polychlorinated biphenyls. This is like in fish. Skin, developmental issues, endocrine issues, glands and hormones, liver issues, immune system issues, nervous system. Then you get fluoride. The affected systems are the skin, the muscles and the skeleton, the eyes, respiratory system, and the lungs.
Wow.
Maybe I need to clear out some fluoride from my lungs. Could be, right?
You never know.
Toluene, cardiovascular, heart and blood vessels, and neurological systems.
This is all in developing babies.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. It's amazing anybody turns out even somewhat normal, right?
So fluoride, yeah, I know, right? So fluoride is prevalent in our drinking water And we did a show with Dr. David Kennedy. We'll put a link to that too, all about fluoride. PCBs are mostly found in fish, it says. Lead can be found in paints and batteries. Mercury can be found in fish, mercury light bulbs, and
dental amalgams.
Dental amalgams, as well as what do you do to take your temperature?
Oh, thermometers.
Thermometer, fish, and then fluoride comes from our drinking water, toothpaste, toluene. It has a picture here of what is that? It looks like paint, but it's nail polish, I think.
Okay.
Pesticides is what mainly arsenic comes from, and it affects the skin, digestive tract, the hepatic, liver, neurological system, respiratory, the nose, the lungs, and then here's this one, tetrachlorothiazide, PERC, and that looks like it comes from paints and different things like cleaners, household agents. This is just crazy.
Well, it's funny because on the first blood test I did to find out about heavy metals and possible mercury, which it didn't show, it did show arsenic was high for me.
It did.
So that's interesting.
So you probably got that from, I would say, your salon job.
I would think so.
Chloropyrifos. That looks like it's coming from, what are those, that Roundup that people spray?
Oh, gosh.
As well as DDT. Skin. It's muscle, skeleton. I mean, how are we... By the way, DDT was banned in 1972. Bisphenol A, which comes from plastics, canned foods, CDs, things like that. It affects the heart, the blood vessels, developmental organs, neurological issues. And then flame retardants, which are in like TV sets, computers.
Mattresses. Children's
carpets.
Pajamas. That's my favorite.
What?
Yeah.
Children's pajamas?
Have flame retardant in them.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
Was that Vonnie Harry or somebody else I heard speak on that? And it's just shocking.
Wow.
As if your kid isn't sleeping close enough with their nose and breathing that in their mattress. They have to have them on their little bodies. It's just messed up. Most kids, I shouldn't say all kids' pajamas. I'm making a general statement. But yeah, in general, I think the kind that you buy, you know, I'm not going to say where, but at those big chains that have, you know, superheroes on them. And yeah, there's flame retardant chemicals.
It's like the Batman and Superman things.
Just all the little kid pajamas.
Oof.
Scary. Well, that's exciting.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's one of those things where I think it would be imperative for people to do heavy metal cleanses maybe once a year,
mm-hmm.
you know, and look into, obviously, if they are not poisoned with mercury or anything like that, you'd want to do something once a year, I think, to pull these things out of your body.
I think you almost have to, doing once a year would be great, and then living a more low, heavy metal lifestyle. I know that sounds funny, but continually... not exposing yourself to new things as much as you can and continually just doing daily practices to help open your detoxification pathways, you know?
I'm going to do that one that we... the next one I do is going to be the Ejuva.
Mm-hmm, the heavy metal Ejuva?
Yeah, that's on our site. ExtremeHealthRadio.com/Ejuva.
We have heard wonderful things about it, but we have not done that.
Yeah, that... I really like what he's up to, but... Are you going to do the Cutler protocol, you think?
Oh, well, I'm still in the throes of more testing, which is funny. I know I have to act here, you know, at some point. It's not that I'm, like I said on the last free-for-all I think we had, it's not that I'm afraid to act. It's just I feel like I really resonate with that procrastination can sometimes be a form of intuition. And I feel like I'm just getting all my information right now and still gathering. But Cutler's what I'm leaning toward. Before I even go into Cutler, though, I think what I'll want to do is do some muscle testing and possibly some dowsing kind of energetic work to find out if that resonates with my body. Because we had a friend, a listener friend who had a bunch of heavy metal, I guess she did have a bunch of heavy metals and was doing a heavy metal protocol. And then later found out also it was, she had all these symptoms of Lyme.
She,
and this happens with a lot of people. They have Lyme and heavy metal, which I think is pretty strange connection that I'm hearing more and more of this.
Wow.
But she ended up, she was thinking about doing Cutler and then went another way because she wasn't 100% comfortable with it. Started this other program and was doing that and feeling a bit better, but then went to the certain doctor, our friend Dr. Connors. She went to go see Dr. Connors.
Oh, yeah.
And
we'll put a link to his show.
Dr. Connors actually tested her specific metal test that she was doing for her body, and it was no bueno.
What do you mean?
It was, she didn't test well for the protocol she was doing for the heavy metal detox.
Oh, wow.
So it actually wasn't doing her any good. It might have been making her feel a bit better, but it wasn't actually compatible, like, to her system. So they found another way to treat that. And a lot of Dr. Connors' protocol is dealing with working with the Rife machine, which is really cool. So
we'll put a link to his Rife machine, too.
Yeah.
The one that he uses.
But isn't that interesting? Like, you could even be doing a heavy metal detox, and most people would probably be fine with most things, but we're all such individual, you know, makeups in our body that, you know, that one wasn't even the perfect thing for her. Which is another point. I'm going to be going Monday to have a session with an awesome nutritionist who also, it's one of our amazing listeners, sent me the gift of, I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but the gift to go see a wonderful nutritionist that she's been working with. And they also do this hair sample. And I thought that was just too good to pass up. So I graciously accepted that offer. And because this listener, our friend, said that she's had, it's kind of like the cherry on top of the, you know, on top of the sundae. She'd been doing a lot of mercury protocols and things and felt a lot better. But when she saw the nutritionist and started working with the right supplements is when she started feeling a heck of a lot more better.
More better.
So I think that was an improper use of that, wasn't it? More better.
Wow.
So she ended up, you know, getting on a bunch of supplements that helped open up her pathways and started feeling a lot better. But I will be doing that, and I'm going to find it really interesting to muscle test with specific things, also add in just a really balanced kind of way to start being able to eat more foods with the right supplements and just get my body in a good enough place to even be able to handle some sort of a detox. But
you know, maybe we'll videotape that and put that on
our
YouTube channel.
If she's up for that.
Think about. Yeah, if she's into that.
It'd be cool.
Yeah, that.
So you never know what kind of protocol is going to speak to each individual person, but I think there's, you know, so many facets of it, and I think that the muscle testing can often be a really powerful tool to find out what does and doesn't work with you. But I'm just getting all these pieces of information. And
do you have the name of the doctor in Seattle that was referred to you by Adam? I think Adam told you about her.
Yeah, I think it's Dr. Julie Anderson.
Okay,
we'll put a link to that too.
Yeah, because this particular doctor, Dr. Julie Anderson, up in Seattle has worked with Dr. Cutler and his protocol for many, many years. And so if you are interested in doing a mercury challenge or mercury chelation, she might be someone to consider.
Yeah. If I do go ahead with the Cutler protocol, I kind of feel good. I mean, I know we're responsible for our own health and you know, kind of being our own detective and own advocate. And I've been doing this for a few years now, kind of putting all these pieces together. But it does make you feel good if you know someone is just so well immersed in a specific thing that they can kind of help you navigate and kind of look over you a little bit, because I feel very comfortable with that. I could do this on myself, and I will do it for the most part, but it is nice to have another voice of someone who kind of...
It is. You know. Yeah, it's good to have a supportive voice. But... You know, as we all know, the true healing comes from trusting our own self and doing all that. But it is good to have some support as well, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, we're humans. Guest 6005 asked us if we did a show on ozone. Actually, no, that's right. We did the show with, my mistake, with Ed McCabe on oxygen. I think we focused primarily on oxygen, not ozone, but we'll put a link to that in the chat room or in the... And things as well, but yeah, you know, it's a tricky thing because you don't want to have these metals being pulled from your tissues and recirculating around, finding their way into other organs or your brain. So it's really important to make sure that you don't stir things up too much,
too fast. I know everyone the resounding comments.
Don't do it too fast.
About mercury have been, or any kind of metals, go slow, and they can't emphasize slow enough, you know? Everything's just slow, 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 so.
So it was interesting because your test showed low mercury.
Yeah, so I got my Quicksilver test back. I haven't blogged yet about it, but I will put that up there. It did show mercury, but not to the extent that we were expecting.
which was so bizarre because you had your mercury fillings removed in a very unsafe way down in Mexico without any protection at all.
10 years ago.
Which is so bizarre. But we have a theory as to what may be going on.
Yeah, so the theory that we've come up with so far, when my naturopath ended up speaking with the people at Quiksilver Scientific, who, you know, I did the what I believe is to be the most in-depth test to date, where you get this tri-field test where they can tell you about what kind of organic mercury, methyl mercury, things like that in your body, and then can tell you pretty much the source it comes from. So I think what's happening with me and the low amount it's showing is that I have so many issues with methylation right now that it's not even showing up. It might be embedded in my tissues and my organs, and that stuff's just not drawing out enough to be able to show the real amount floating around in my body, because it's not really floating around in my body. It's kind of stuck in my body.
Right.
And I don't. Exactly. At this point, we all agree that messing with that and stirring it up to do like a challenge test, like a urine test, is not ideal for someone who feels pretty bad half the time. So I just find it really interesting. Really interesting.
Yeah, you know, I suspect that because it was 10 years ago that you had this, it's probably settled
into areas.
Yeah,
so yeah, there's that going on, and then I'm really believing that I still have some pretty high infection going on in my body that's causing my pancreatic marker to still be really high. We actually get blood work back today after this show. We have a phone meeting with my naturopath to go over the results of that. But yeah, for the last 2 years, my pancreatic CA19-9 level just fluctuates up and down and up and down. And I believe that's due to infection more than anything. So there's some infection
going on
in my body. And I also do know from a test I did last year with Dr. Stephen Hines, who we've had on the show as well, showed that I had a parasite infection. I'm sorry, not a parasite. Well, yeah, an amoebic infection.
That showed amoebic, right?
Mm-hmm. And you know what? It was really frustrating because I thought, instead of having to go on a course of low-grade antibiotics or do these things that were recommended to me to really get a hold of this thing, I thought I would just do a full-body parasite cleanse. And we did some things like that, but what ended up happening is my body, my systems are just not fully functioning, so that ended up hurting my kidney. It hurt my kidneys all the time. I wasn't, you know, and so all these things, it's like your pathways of methylation and detoxification really have to be open if you're not going to cause yourself some more pain and heartache and just feeling horrible. So now that I don't really think that did much though for the amoebic infection. So maybe it's just spiraled and adding on to the mercury and metal. So it's a journey.
It's a journey, man.
It's a journey.
You never thought health would be such a thing that when it gets taken away from you and you're on a path to figure out what's really going on in this sort of three-dimensional body we have. I mean, it's really challenging to figure out the actual cause of what's ailing us and what's harming us. Because, you know, for some people, like Danielle Walker, who we had on the show, all she had to do was cut out certain grains. And she just recovered from Crohn's disease and, you know, got her life back.
Ulcerative colitis.
And it's like, it's just amazing how some people can just, you know, cut grains out and all of a sudden they're just, their life's turned around. Whereas other people go on this 4 or 5 year journey of trying to figure out what the heck is going on with their body, you know? And I feel like it's like one of those things where you're chosen or you're not based on your past experiences and your past decisions as to whether or not you're going to choose the right decision for you, you know?
Like how?
Well, it's almost as if like there's a lesson that has to be learned for all of us, whether or not it's a health crisis or whether or not it's some lesson that we have to learn through family dynamics or career or job or money or work or something like that. And it's almost as if, like we were talking about this the other day, where God is looking at like a lineup of people and there's thousands of people that he's looking at and he's trying to determine which people are going to be able to carry out and learn a lesson or grow so much from that lesson that they actually help others recover from their lesson. And he's scanning thousands of people, and then he comes to you and points to you with his big finger, with his big God finger, big fat God finger, and says, you're the one.
Hmm.
you're the one. And I feel like that's sort of the case with us in a lot of ways and with all of our listeners. You're the chosen one. And the fact that you're listening to this, or the fact that you're a part of trying to improve yourself in lots of different ways, because health is only one way you can improve yourself. But I feel like it's because of the type of person that you've become and created for you specifically, the types of practices that you've been doing, you've shown a resourcefulness with the and a willingness to make the right decisions that are going to cause for the most growth to happen.
And a relentlessness where you,
yeah,
when you're choosing those things and you have such a strong conviction that they're right, yet you keep getting pounded by a tidal wave every time you come up for air, mm-hmm, and you keep showing up. I think that's, yeah, what's being looked at when you're being set apart for this kind of work or this kind of a journey.
Uh-huh. 'Cause so many people go through their lives, right, where it's more a focus about keeping going what's going on.
Right.
And keeping, you know, the household going and making sure just the day-to-day living is up to par and the day-to-day living is happening and working and people are taken care of. And then there's other people that are focused on bigger issues, whether or not it's their own health or lessons they're trying to learn or people they're trying to help. And I think that God is looking for people like that, where
He's looking for someone to say yes, like, I'll go, I'll do it, I'll,
whatever,
no matter
it takes,
how hard it is.
Yeah, no matter how hard it takes.
I feel like half the things you're asked to do in life that are worth anything are just going to be hard. There's just no two ways around it.
There's no two ways around it, yeah.
Right.
I don't know. I just think that there is something to that. And I think that, you know, the more you start putting into practice disciplines of desiring to be better and to grow stronger and to be the fullest expression of yourself, I think that as you pursue that path, opportunities happen because you're
aligned.
You're worthy of them almost.
Mm.
Where it's like you wouldn't put a basketball player, you know, some guy who's 25 years old, who's of age to play professional basketball, but he's never put in any work. But yet he's got, you know, he's 6'6". He can jump through the gym, you know, and he's extremely athletic, but he's never done an ounce of work in his life. And then, but he wants to be a pro basketball player. And then you got someone else who's exactly the same genetics, and he's shooting baskets at, you know, at 3 in the morning in the middle of the rain.
Right.
You know, it's like, okay, that's the guy.
You're really showing that you're committed and you'll do whatever it takes.
And so for you, I think, you know, for listeners and for you, I think it's like somehow in some weird way you're chosen for this path. Do you want me to turn that off?
No, I'm good.
Are you
cold?
A little bit, but I'm fine.
I'll turn off in a sec.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks. I feel like that too. And I do feel like I'm... 2 years ago, the old me would have been too, like, maybe dragging my feet because I was nervous about trying these things. And I keep reiterating, it's not that I'm nervous. I'm collecting information. And when you don't feel comfortable in your gut with something, you have to wait until you reach a certain level of comfort. I know that, you know, if you want to get better, you have to eventually act on something. But I just haven't felt more than 50% good about anything until I have enough information. Because I also think that there is somewhat of, can be a damage done if you think every protocol is for you and you just start going protocol crazy and just trying everything.
Right.
Because that can, you know, that can really stir up a lot of stuff that, you know, when you're in a sensitive, really delicate state, like I find myself in with my health right now, it can actually do some reverse stuff. And I'm just so willing to go so slow and to choose so wisely that I'd rather it take a year, other than maybe it could be done in 6 months or 8 months. I'd rather go the full year and feel better and have a better shot at doing things for my body more right.
So how do you know, what's the balance then of knowing, you know, obviously these protocols, if they're not done correctly, can make you feel really bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can really throw you for a loop. So what's the balance for you knowing that there's going to be a level of fear no matter what going through any protocol? And then getting enough information to feel somewhat comfortable starting with something.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel? how will you know that it's time to start something?
Well, personally, this might not work for everyone, but I am very connected to like my spirit.
Uh-huh.
So my spirit feels like a piece about it. I just felt too jumbled and too just very unsure about things. And I always have a sense of peace. Like, even though decisions have been really hard in the past and they seem somewhat chaotic, there still is this underlying sense of just peace in my spirit about it. And I feel like I'm getting close to that. I feel like I'm 80% close, but I feel like there's going to be one more piece of information at some point that's going to pop into my life, and I'm going to be like, okay, it's go time. And I'll just know.
Okay.
But that took years and years of learning to listen to that voice. And I know that sounds just kind of out there, and for people who maybe who haven't connected with that might think that's crazy, but no, I've always just known there's a gut feeling that something's right, or it's time, or it's not, or it's wrong.
Yeah, it's like that thing we're watching with David Icke recently, where he was talking about intention and how important it is to have intention in what you do, and seeking something different or seeking something completely new to what you've done. But then there's also the understanding of when doors are closed and you're not attached to the intention.
Mm-hmm. Just to push because you intend to. Because I feel like that's true.
Because you could have done that with Dr. Cutler's protocol.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, maybe you'll circle back and you'll do that. But
yeah,
just,
I don't know.
It's good that you didn't go with this certain protocol just because that's the first thing you heard and you went for it. You know?
Right. Yeah. Because I feel like, again, everyone's just such a delicate balance of their own set of things that. You know, that's what's so interesting about our show. It's hard because you get so many things flying at you, so many voices, whether they're practitioners, doctors, or just listeners that write you really nice emails. But, you know, anyone who's had luck with anything will think that's the way to go. And that doesn't work for, you know, everybody. So,
right. Like this is, oh, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was going to say, when you said, like, when do you start and how do you feel good about that and whatever? Well, what I am walking away with is just start slow with anything. Like, the nutritionist I'll be working with, she sent me samples of supplements in the mail to try the 2 weeks prior to our meeting to see how I do. And I'm not kidding. They are so, like, I almost didn't know what to do with them because they're so cautious
right.
about dealing with people's specificities, I guess I should say,
right.
that she said to try a nibble. Like a baby nibble of a piece of calcium or a piece of magnesium or whatever these pills are, literally taking a tiny little bit and then waiting a full day. And then the next day do two nibbles and you work your way up to one supplement.
Wow.
And then you work your way up slowly to two supplements a day. And then you make your way up to three or whatever your body is testing for.
Right.
But I mean, it's kind of crazy because I've just always been like, okay, it's a supplement. I know it's good for me. I'll take it. It can't do any harm.
That's the American way. That's the Western way.
Right.
Just dive right in.
And you know, sometimes supplements can make you feel, even supplements can make you feel really crappy if you're not careful.
Yeah. You got to take them correctly.
But yeah. I love this approach. I'm like, wow, a snail's pace. And you know what? It is sad. I wish that this was me 5-10 years ago on this path so that we'd be in a whole different place by now, you know, because when we first started this show, we talked about how we were probably getting ready to have a kid and right. start our family. And then my health just declined, you know, to a worse and worse state. And right. unfortunately now we're just in the, like, let's get Kate healthy phase again, which is fine because obviously everything for a reason and the timing, but it's just never what you would have picked yourself.
I know.
And if I would have known, but I didn't know. So obviously there's a very specific reason why I wasn't supposed to know about these health things until now, you know?
Yeah. And sometimes you're exposed to information that you're just not ready for too,
yeah.
you know, like, that's happened with us a lot where we're exposed to something that we've known about for years and years. And then it just hits us in a new way. And all of a sudden you're ready for something. It's because the time has come where, you know, you're energetically and you're balanced and you're emotionally ready for something like that.
Yes.
In the chat room, guest 6005 says, how do I find balance in my health? Like, carrot juice helps me sleep, but at the same time, the sugars hurt my teeth and I have cavities. That's a tough one. Finding balance, you know, I think that certain foods can serve you at certain times. You know, carrot juice, according to Adam Bergstrom, would be better to take at night because it's a root vegetable between 7 and 9 p.m. It's a great vegetable to take at night because of the angle of the sun and the chronobiotic nutrition and the mathematics that goes into
eating.
eating certain foods at certain times because Our heart, not only does certain food have certain times, best times of the day to be eaten, but also our organs, according to Adam Bergstrom. So doing this at the right time would be helpful, but I think that's what it's all about, right? Is finding balance when you're with your health. And if you, I think that what we do as a society and as a culture is we just dive into things and we eat things. I'm guilty of this just like anybody else. I mean, we're both guilty.
You?
Of this. Yeah. Right? You're halfway through something before you know you're eating it.
Exactly. You know? That's a great way to say that.
That's where meditation has helped me develop at least a little bit of awareness to understand that there's a relationship between the addiction of wanting a certain food and who I really am as soul, and putting that little gap in between when I eat something and when I choose to eat it.
Hmm.
And so sitting with certain foods, like you've been doing muscle testing, you've been doing dowsing.
Yeah.
You know, and sitting with things and really finding out, like, where am I getting this information? You know, carrot juice, this person says, helps you sleep. And at the same time, the sugars hurt my teeth. I mean, see, the thing is it's like, where do we get this idea?
What idea? That we, how we feel about a certain food?
Yeah, well, like this person says, 6005 in the chat room about how carrot juice helps them sleep, but the sugars hurt their teeth. And so that's sort of the conundrum that we have with a lot of foods, right?
Right.
Where, let's say something like this, for example. Apricot kernels are incredible for the vitamin B17, which helps to mitigate cancer cells. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right. Tumors.
Yeah.
And yeah, cancer cells.
And so if you are someone who doesn't do well with nuts and there's phytic acid on the skins and of these seeds, then you say to yourself, okay, phytic acid reduces my ability to uptake minerals, right? And they're hard to digest. But phytic acid also helps to mitigate radiation.
Right.
So it's good.
Right.
But it's also bad.
Same with sulfur.
Exactly.
You know, if you have a methylation challenge like I do, sulfur, all sulfur foods, But you're getting sulfur. Like, you hear that sulfur is apparently one of the most amazing minerals.
Oh, God.
For health.
Yeah, it helps to...
But how are you getting it? Are you getting it
dramatically increase oxygen into the cell?
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
But so what do? So you have something that's good and bad.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, let's say, for example, the carrot juice. I'll just go with this example for a little while. The carrot juice helps you sleep, but you think it's too sugary. It's interesting that people, that's a big part of the Gerson protocol is carrot juice.
Straight carrot juice, sugar.
So what do you do in that case? You know something's good, but then you know it's bad. But then I think that we need to get rid of just every preconceived notion about food. I mean, unless it's some sort of highly processed Snickers bar or something like that. But if you're talking about food, maybe just sit with it and just think about it and just muscle test for it or do dowsing for it. Mm-hmm. Or meditate. Next time you meditate, you know, just see how you feel with it. And then if you still feel like, you know, maybe your teeth are not going to be affected by it for the next XYZ, for the next 3 or 4 months, because your body really is craving sleep and it needs to adjust itself so that, I mean, think about this. Think about if the body could do this. Your body says, okay, it's objectively bad, the sugar, say, but your body is craving carrot juice, right? Because it helps you sleep. So imagine if this were the case. This would be so weird, wouldn't it? If the body were to create a craving for you to like carrot juice so that it knows that it's the sugar's bad for you, but it's telling you need carrot juice because it really wants to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And by sleeping, it's going to be able to reset hormones and to reset your digestion and to heal on a deep, deep level. And that's really what your body wants, is telling you that through the carrot juice.
I see.
So then you have the body. What if it's mitigating the sugars on your teeth during the time that you're needing to restore your sleep? And then once your sleep is back up and you're healthy, then your body says, okay, that's enough.
Mm-hmm.
And then you no longer need the carrot juice to sleep anymore because you developed a good pattern. You restored your hormones and you're tired enough to sleep every night. then the natural inclination for carriage just goes away. But if you were so inclined to not listen to your body and you kept drinking the carrot juice, then it would start hurting your teeth from that point on. I mean, is that, if we live in all possibility, isn't that something that's possible?
That's totally possible.
Who knows, and right?
I think it's kind of pretty probable. I think we see that happening.
Yeah.
Where you're in our own specific situations where you crave something, want something, do well with something for 2 months, and all of a sudden it seems to turn on you for...
It turns on you,
yeah.
Right?
That's what I feel like with our diets. I mean, we've had some very strange things where, you know, even raw, soaked, amazing almonds will be good for me for 2 months, and all of a sudden one day I'm like, man, my stomach hurts. And the next day after, guess what? Again, it's the almonds. Like,
right.
You know?
I would get our... I don't know, just get the idea of these things that are bad or good. If it's a natural food, gosh, I really think we just need to sit with ourselves and figure out. I mean, you could take something like an herb called Gymnema sylvestri, and they have that in the blood sugar balance. You can buy it at your health food store, but they also have it on Vitality Herbs and Clay and the blood sugar balance, what we take. So if you know you're going to eat something that's high in sugar, that's what I do. I pop a couple of those, and it cuts the amount of carbohydrates that your body's exposed to in half.
So is it really half? Yeah.
That's pretty powerful. Yeah. So if you're getting 20 grams of carbs, and all of a sudden you're getting 10.
Not a bad gig.
But yeah, this is something we've been going through for a long time, right?
Yeah. I kind of have to laugh now because it's just
bizarre.
Talk about having to become unattached to outcomes. That's one thing. And then unattached to food. That's a whole other thing. So you have all this unattachment going on. It's painful at times to listen to your body and actually like to hear it and then to actually do what it's telling you. It's a twofold process. Because, I mean, I've mentioned before, I remember there being last year when my little niece was born, my sister was having the baby, and I went up to the hospital very late at night with my mom to see this fresh new baby, you know, my little niece. And I was driving home at like midnight or 1 a.m, and I had this inclination, like this inner knowing, to cut out chocolate. These are the three things I felt like were downloaded to me. It sounds very strange. I very strongly heard, cut out chocolate, go back to yoga, and pay off debt. How funny is that?
Really?
I thought, what? What? Those three things have nothing in common,
so
first
chocolate,
of all. Go back to yoga. Pay off some debt.
Wow.
So what did I do? I thought, wow, those are too weird. And they didn't seem to come from me because I wasn't focusing on these specific things. And they just kind of came out of the blue.
Right.
So I paid off a ton of stuff, like with what little money we had. I got really creative, used it the right way, paid off a lot of back debt. I did go back to yoga for a while, and then my body unfortunately wasn't feeling that great, so I took another break again. And the chocolate thing, I just have completely ignored.
I know.
And it's always, every time I will eat either raw chocolate, coconut bliss ice cream, all this stuff with chocolate, I have just ignored for a year, right? Mm-hmm. And I know that this is one of those things. It can be inflammatory,
right.
And it can be the most amazing thing for you on the face of the earth.
Yeah.
In my case, I know that chocolate is a very high sulfur thiol food.
Right.
Yet my body seems to do okay with it because I don't have a very strong reaction.
Right.
But every time I muscle test or I douse for it, it says no.
It
agrees. It says no, and I keep eating it.
Wow.
So I know I'm not doing myself any favors. I feel sorry for myself because I can eat about 12 to 15 foods these days. And so I kind of justify it as like, well, what the heck am I supposed to eat if I can't eat anything else? But I do find it very interesting that the nutritionist I'm going to be working with asked me, very highly suggested I cut out all sugar, because it feeds inflammation, it feeds infection, whatever I have going on in my body with this infection. So, you know, wow. Is it a year later that this is still just meant to get me off of the chocolate coconut bliss ice cream and the raw chocolate products that still have sugar in them,
wow,
even though they're natural? I feel like, yeah, it almost starts screaming at you. It gave me the hint. I ignored it. And now it's kind of forcing me into mm-hmm. paying attention to it. So I think your body's going to get through to you. No matter what,
mm-hmm.
in some odd, weird way, it's going to come back full circle. And it's what we do with the answers that we keep getting.
It really is a relationship with food, isn't it? I mean,
it's a real thing.
And in an ideal world, we would all be living with so much gratitude that we sit with a meal before we eat it and give complete thanks and gratitude before we eat that, and mm-hmm. and we know whether or not that's a good thing to eat, and we're really connecting with our food in a deep level. But instead, it's like we're shoveling food down our face on the drive-through on the way to a work meeting, and you know, we've lost a complete ability to connect with what food, because really food is just information.
Mm-hmm.
And is it the right information for your body, or is it the wrong information for your body?
Right. And it could be right at the beginning and you need this for a while, and then you don't need it for a while, and then you could eat it again and get something new from it.
And the only way to know is you can't have someone telling you that sugar or that carrots are bad for you, or that raw chocolate's bad for you. The only way that you're going to know is in the moment, that time of the day. If you're so connected to your body that you're able to make that decision yourself, because platitudes and generalities are gonna, I think they're part of the old epoch.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, this is the old way of thinking where you could just say, macronutrients are good, or this is good, this or bad. I mean, there's so much that goes into whether or not a food is going to be healthy for you. I think the best thing, if you're unsure and you're really craving it, just say a blessing, say a prayer over it. Thank God that you're in a position where you can take it in.
Yep.
And sit with it and see how it feels. And you know, you could do all this while, you know, going to a restaurant with friends. You know?
Totally. And still enjoy your time out. Because there's a social aspect that I think is actually good for you, good for your soul. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to just be, but I think there's a wiser way to make choices. It's interesting. We have a question from Michael in the chat room. Is raw chocolate alkaline? And then our guest 6005 says they heard chocolate is toxic. I know. The toxic chocolate thing. It's like you hear David Wolf go on and on and on about chocolate and all the benefits for you. And then I've heard the exact same thing, that chocolate can be toxic, and especially toxic to certain people with certain issues, like, you know, high, you know, under methylating, or people with major sulfation and thiol issues and challenges. So again, I don't know. I think that it's bizarre, though. Again, it's on a list of high sulfur, high, you know, bad for people with methylation problems, but I seem to feel okay on it, which is just bizarre. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there you go again. Andy Cutler's book says you won't have problems with all these foods on these lists. But I do say that at this point, knowing I'm kind of have an inflammation going on, I need to cut back on the chocolate.
So this is awesome. This is just what I was just doing is so poignant.
What?
Okay, so I typed into Google, is chocolate alkaline?
Mm-hmm.
And the first website said it was acidic.
Okay.
Second website says it's alkaline.
This is the problem.
So, you know, I mean, so the thing is acid and alkaline good for you? So that's the thing, is we've been preconceived to tell that alkalinity is good.
Mm-hmm.
But from what I've heard, we're in a delicate balance.
If you're too alkaline, you might have this happen. If you're too acid, you might have this challenge.
I mean, from what I've, like for example, I've read that being too acidic for too long can cause the formation of cancer, being too acidic. But being too alkaline, once you have that cancer, can cause that cancer to spread. Metastasize.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a balance. Do you want to be too alkaline? No, you don't want to be too alkaline. Do you want to be too acidic? No, you want to be balanced. And so the first thing is to get away the preconceived notion that one is better than the other, right?
Right.
And then the second one is whether or not is the quality of the chocolate that you're eating, the combination that you're eating it, the time of day you're eating it,
mm-hmm.
and what emotional state are you eating it in? Right?
We just think we're going out for a snack.
No, right? We think we're just at the liquor store getting ready to buy a Hershey's, you know? But that's where at is like this idea of people going and living life in such a scattered, frantic, busy way where they have no time other than to stop at a liquor store to get some food on their way to a meeting, and it's chocolate and they're eating it. I mean, could it be true that if chocolate's very alkalinizing, let's say it is, that you're eating it in a rushed state, stressed out on your way to a meeting, does that really matter? I mean, you're going to be acidic anyway from all those toxic thoughts.
Right.
So it's so deep.
Right. If you're eating that in traffic while you're freaking out about getting to work and stressed out of your brain, and then you're eating that exact chocolate in a day spa after you just had a massage being fanned with palm fronds.
Yeah.
I mean,
right?
You're probably going to feel pretty darn good about it.
And what's your relationship to it once you eat it? Do you feel like you need it? Are you craving it? Or is it something that you feel like you can't live without? That's a whole separate thing,
too. I know, an addiction versus the pleasure.
Yeah.
It is a trip.
Or a reward system. I've been through a hellish week at work. I deserve a reward.
Right, right. You know? I think we should just ask God to rain manna down from heaven again, and then we just eat that. Because that's the... You and I get frustrated sometimes going, why, if food is such a big thing, especially in this day and age, why the heck doesn't the Bible talk much about it or any of these other, you know, like, there's old texts like Ayurveda and, you know, that talk about Ayurvedic ways of eating and things like that, but at least they're getting some sort of manual. Like,
exactly.
How the heck is anyone supposed to either? And that's the problem. Maybe that was true back before you had chemtrails dumping stuff on you or fluoride in your water. Maybe most people could kind of eat the same way and be fine, but maybe God just knew, like, things were going to get so messed up and food would become a bigger issue for people, because I don't think we're not supposed to be focused, I don't think, so much on food.
No.
You know,
no.
We're supposed to be living our life and making, I know food is part of life and it adds a lot and it's a fun social thing. It's a family gathering. It's a warmth and comfort thing. But I mean, it becomes very unbalanced. But I mean, I think about food all the time and I think what I can and can't eat. And I know that people who don't even have any food challenges are thinking about what their next meal is going to be and who they're going to go out with. And everything involves so much around eating. Mm-hmm. I think we're supposed to go more inward and focus more on who are we becoming, not what are we putting down our mouth.
Dude, that's so true.
It's really frustrating.
Who are we becoming and what kind of, you know, legacy are we leaving on the earth, and what kind of work are we doing? How are we helping people?
I completely agree. Don't you think? I mean, we have to take all this time, unfortunately, because our systems are so ruined and compromised. It's just another... What is the word I'm looking for? It's just another thing to be sidetracked from what we're really here for. So, yeah. I mean, unfortunately, we have to deal with it if we're going to feel good enough to do our real purpose. So, I'm not saying it's hugely important. It's just sad that we've gotten to that state.
Yeah, I completely agree. And it's one of those things where, whether by our choice or by conspiracy theory people saying the government's doing all these things to us, regardless of where the source is of us becoming sick, it becomes something that you shouldn't need to focus on. In an ideal world, there would be no extreme health radio because there would be no need for it. Mm-hmm. Everyone would be healthy. Everyone would be energetic, alive, and doing their purpose and living a fun life and helping others and being abundant and blessing people. And it would just be amazing. There would be no extreme health radio because there would be no one sick. But that's the thing. It's like, not attaching yourself even to your own diagnosis or to your own sickness and illness, because if you're attaching yourself to that and you're focusing all your time and all your energy on trying to heal and trying to work at this and trying to this, like recently what I've been doing, and we've been doing this a lot, like I am just have personally an insatiable desire to learn more. I just love learning things. I love my mind being stretched. I love listening to podcasts and radio shows about health and learning what the latest stuff is. I love learning about all kinds of different things, history, economics, politics, world events, conspiracy theories, all this stuff, right? But lately, you know what I've been listening to on my iPod?
What?
Phil Henry, who's just the funniest person that you'll ever listen to. And again, I would highly recommend sign up to this guy's site, download a bunch of his podcasts, and you will laugh like you've never laughed before. I guarantee it. And
our family vacation every year when we drive 10 hours up north, we listen to so much of Phil Henry because it puts you in a really fun mood.
And I won't even attempt to rehash it, but I'll put a link in the thing. And, you know, sometimes we just need to laugh.
I know.
Sometimes
I hear
we just need stupid humor. Mm-hmm. And we're, you know, 90% of everything I take in is important stuff. It's documentaries. It's books where I'm learning stuff. You know, I'm reading a book right now called, what is it called?
Past Lives, Present Miracles.
A little light reading, Past Lives and Present Miracles, that you've read.
Yeah.
And we'll put that on the show page too. But, you know, 90% of the stuff I take in, but sometimes, you know what? You just need to laugh.
Right.
And just connect with emotion and connect with your, the lighter side of life.
I know. Cause you know? I love the Hay House Summit. I love it every year.
Oh yeah.
And so I've been going through some of those, but I've been really careful to balance it out with, just listening to music. Cause I hadn't listened to music on my iPod for so long because I'm just like so ravenous, like you said, for just all this information and life changing stuff. Well, then I realized like my life is just becoming about learning how to live my life. It's actually not living my life anymore.
Yeah.
So this is great. And these are great tools, but I realized I kind of lost my life in the process of trying to find it. So
yeah,
I go, yeah, I just need to rock out in my car and I need to laugh wholeheartedly, belly laugh with a friend. And I need to go to the park and paint, not just go ground myself to ground, but why don't I sit on the ground and do something I love, like paint with my best friend and do things that are real, but then listen to Hay House on my morning walk and get revved up to go, oh, you know, maybe this is where some more healing could come in, or, but just not get so wrapped up in the process because it will exhaust you.
It's challenging. It's really challenging.
Big challenge.
And it becomes where a type of thing where you're desperately trying to feel better. You're desperately trying to do all these things and it's just overtaking your life.
Right.
And I think that it would be really great for people to sort of set these principles in place. And then try to focus some more of their time on, you know, things that are going to make them laugh. Go see a movie. Go see something, some meaningless movie that you know is part of the control system's desire to hold you down.
As long as we know that.
You know what I mean?
Or you can almost embrace it more.
Yeah, go see a movie. Go watch some sporting event or something. Go watch some stupid bachelorette or something like that, you know?
Right.
And just know that, you know what? That's okay.
Just get out of your head for a while.
You know, and as long as you understand what it is, as long as you're not addicted to it, as long as you give it maybe 10% of your time.
And know what it's doing, you know?
Yeah, and know it's hard because we come, you know, with so many preconceived judgments about things. Like, for example, I can't watch, think about if we were to watch Bachelor, like that reality TV show for people that don't live in the United States. It's a reality TV show about one woman or one man, and she tries to, or they try to find love and marriage through dating multiple people. And so if we're to watch that, we can't go through 5 minutes of that. I mean, we haven't watched it in what, forever, right?
Yeah, years.
But we couldn't go through 5 minutes of that without stopping and saying, oh, of course they're going to put this kind of commercial in, right, to try to program people. Or of course they're trying to make people think that giving birth is a horrible thing and you have to go to a hospital for that.
Right. It's horrible and people want to die and they're screaming at their husband. Like,
and
just all these things were programmed.
Judgment. And it's so hard just to allow yourself a little bit of space to be like, you know what? Let's just hang out.
Just to be.
Let's have a beer.
Out of your head.
Let's hang out.
Yeah. You know? Right. I know.
Let's have a drink. Let's not worry so much, you know, and not be so anal with everything we're trying to do. You know, for me, that's very, I'm doing it more, but it's
really life giving, huh?
Yeah, it is.
And
it allows us to sort of, like I said before, connect with the bright side of, or lighter side of life.
Well, I like what Evan shared with us in the chat room. He says, like Abraham says, quote, your feelings are your GPS, ... When you feel bad, you are out of alignment.
And what's a greater way to connect with your feelings than music or laughing?
Right.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, all this stuff is just mind. Stuff we're talking about today is just mind. It's just our brain, you know. It's just this really low-level vibration of taking in information, but really want to connect with your emotions and how you feel.
Right. And then I do, I mean, I know that everything's in belief. Even when you have days like that, even though you know you're not healed or the mercury still might be in your body or your methylation's messed up, on those days when you feel emotionally better and you're laughing, I mean, I feel like I can digest my food better.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I know it's just because I'm in a place of, I'm not healed by any means and I can't just stuff whatever I want down my face and think I'm going to feel okay the next day. But in general, you really do feel different about, it's like when you have good weather, when it's just sunny out,
you're just
like,
happy.
You're like, I might have a broken leg and I might be sitting here with my leg elevated and I won't even be able to go outside. Yeah. But knowing it's sunny outside, just knowing makes you feel so much better.
Oh my gosh. It's so, you know, and I think that in our culture, we're so wrapped up in the patriarchal idea of life and the mind. And we worship and bow down to people's intellect and their ability to, relay information and all this stuff. But I think that what happens as a result of that is that we get so tied up in the mind and what people have said, even if it's about food or the government or anything, and we start worshiping and bowing down to other people's opinions and ideas about things, that we lose connection with ourselves. But then what also happens too is you have this built up energy in the body that has nowhere to go. And you start becoming frustrated.
Mm.
And so one of the great ways to get rid of this energy is to do what we were just talking about. Listen, I'm going to put a link. You know what? I'm going to do this right now because this is just so
good.
You're
fired up. What are you putting a link for?
Phil Hendry. He should give me a little kickback for supporting him. PhilHendryShow.com. I think that's it. I'll put a link to it in our show notes too. You know, go listen to a comedy thing like this Phil Hendry thing or go for a hard workout. Go hit a punching bag if you're frustrated, you know, and get this energy out either through something like laughing or get this energy out through maybe going for a long run or getting a really intense workout or go to a comedy show or just check out and go to a funny movie or something.
Yeah.
You know, you gotta get out of
your head.
Go
to a summer
head.
Concert. Just enjoy. Like yeah. Sit under the stars and listen to music. Like,
yeah.
I know, getting out of your head is so, so important.
It is.
I mean, I don't know how to do it. I'm not claiming I know how to do it, but those little glimpses I have of being out of it, I go, oh, there you are. It's like returning to something I knew to be better for me.
Yeah.
You know, like before stuff got complicated. When you were a kid, you weren't aware of any of this stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you downed your pizza and Coke and you ran around and then you went swimming right after you ate and you didn't have a stomach cramp like people always said you would.
Yeah.
But somehow you were like beat all odds.
You're laughing, you know? Fumbling around, falling in the bushes.
I know.
You know? I mean,
I know.
It's just, I think that, you know, we've had a few questions come in where people are asking what the role of spirituality and health is, or spirituality and emotions are to health. And, you know, to me, there is no question that if you go down a path like we're going, a rabbit hole of trying to improve yourself, become healthier and have more information about that kind of thing, that you're going to inevitably end up in spirituality and emotional health.
I don't think you can't not.
And yeah, it's just, there's just no way around it. And I think that is the end result. And that is the source of everything. And learning how to feel good. Like one of the things I do on the rebounder is I will purposely smile when I'm on the rebounder, because the rebounder helps you increase endorphins and increases your ability to feel good. It's incredible for that. And if you look into a mirror and you just smile, your body responds by releasing hormones because it thinks that it's happy.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. And so if you do that while you're on the rebound, I mean, I don't do it the whole time. I'm usually watching a documentary, you know, about the Bilderberg.
So when I'm in the
2015 Bilderberg meeting in Europe this year from InfoWars.com.
Something really light.
Yeah, Alex Jones. But, you know,
I like when I'm in the sauna and you're on the rebounder and we're watching a documentary in the dark. You're probably smiling over there, aren't you?
I do.
That's
try.
That's kind of creepy.
Yeah. But I do it, you know, from time to time. And I especially when I'm on the rebounder, because just by its own nature, it helps
it
you
does
feel
make,
better.
It does. And I feel like jumping on that thing, it is like a kid on a trampoline. You just kind of have fun. You kind of just smile.
Yeah.
Like there's something about bouncing up and down that you just almost feel silly about because it's just so like, it's just
childlike.
So fun. It is childlike.
It's childlike and it's fun. And it's cool because it's different than like, say, even punching a punching bag or lifting weights. Like you have this groove with a weight where you're going to bring it down and push it up, bring it down and push it up. And you have this predetermined groove. Or with rebounding, you can be as creative as you want. And so it's really a lot like being a child. And so when you smile and you're on there and you're increasing endorphins anyway, I mean, if you can tap into making yourself feel better and dream and be excited about what's coming while living in the moment, then you're good to go.
Well, that about wraps it up.
You know?
I agree.
Are we done?
No. I was just saying that's, I mean, we could be, but that's a great way to put that.
Yeah.
I love that you just said that.
I want to tell people too the featured Amazon product that we've had for the month of May.
What do you mean the featured Amazon?
Featured
product?
Amazon product. It's so crazy what you can buy on Amazon. This person bought. We get a list of what people buy, but we don't know who buys what. So if you're buying, you know, some kinky underwear for your fiance, we'll see it, but we won't know who bought it. But
no judgments.
Yeah, no judgments. No judgments. This person bought a 10-frame beehive kit.
A 10 what?
10-frame beehive kit.
Really?
How rad is that?
They have that on Amazon?
Yeah, you can make your own.
Can I turn this?
Oh, it's not on the computer, okay. But I'll copy the link right here.
Wait, well, how does this work?
Let me copy this real quick.
I want to see this.
A 10-frame. We're going to start featuring people's funniest products or most interesting products they buy. Now you can turn the screen.
Okay, let me see it.
But it's like a kit where you can make your own beehives. How rad.
Okay, that is awesome. It looks like the trays and panels of the dehydrator.
It does, doesn't it?
Gosh, this reminds me of growing up. Our next door neighbor was a bee farmer.
Herb
the beef. I loved Herb.
He was great, wasn't
he? But he had these bees. He had something just like that, which makes sense because that's what you do when you have a beehive. But he would, you know, be dressed in the full garb sometimes, and we'd go over there and he'd be like, stand back 10 feet. I don't know why he thought 10 feet was the magical space, which we were safe from the bees. He would take out those trays and he'd be able to see all the combs.
All
and
the honey, huh?
It was neat.
Hey, we got to tell people about the honey. What is that thing called? The honey flow?
The honey hive.
Flow honey?
Flow?
Honey flow?
That thing is cool. I think it's honey flow.
Honeyflow.com. I'm going to put this in the chat room. Check this out, guys. This is something I want to do. You get free honey on tap.
Flow Hive. Farmer Mark knows about it in the chat.
He'd probably help create it.
He probably
He's involved he probably with did. All this stuff. Awesome, Mark. That's cool. Flow Hive, yeah. Honeyflow.com. We'll put a link to that in the chat room. But it's just amazing what you can buy on Amazon, isn't it?
Yes.
And check out this other thing, too.
Yeah, what else do you find over there?
This isn't really funny, but it's an interesting book, it looks like.
Okay.
Christianity, the Law of Attraction, and the One Command. Bible principles revealed and applied to everyday living.
Wow. Who wrote that?
Ooh, let's take
that
a look.
That looks
here.
Like a good one, a we'll, heavy one.
We'll put a link to that too in the on the show notes.
Sounds like the book Reincarnation in Christianity that I have that Ooh. Is like reading a freaking, I don't know what, like a thesis. I mean, it's like this crazy heavy book and I'm loving it, but it is rough. It's a rough go.
Beverly Jones.
Okay.
People buy some interesting stuff. When I was looking through the different things people order through our Amazon link, it's, I wish I don't know who buys what, but man, we've got some really switched on people.
Yeah. Don't we? Wow. That sounds great.
Goodness. Yeah.
I'd love to read this. And again, another book.
Yeah. Right.
Gosh, I have so many books. I'm like 20 books in.
Thanks everyone for bookmarking our Amazon link. Let me put a link to that. What people have been doing, it's been helping us so much. Let's see. I can't.
I think in Amazon, we need to get Maggie Brown some fresh breath natural toothpaste for dogs.
Doggy halitosis.
She stinks over here.
So our Amazon link is extremehealthradio.com/Amazon. And what people have been doing has been bookmarking that. And then they use that bookmark every time they want, they make a purchase. So, you know, people are buying things that aren't even have anything to do with health and we still get credit for that. So it's
thanks, guys.
Great way to support us. But, yeah, pretty cool, huh?
Yes.
Christianity, the law of attraction. You know what? The Christianity and the law of attraction is interesting that the law of attraction, people talk about the faith healers and how they're, they don't talk about that as being the law of attraction, but they talk about it as being a bad thing, especially within Christian circles, about the faith healing. But I wonder if something's going on
like
with
the Benny Hinn kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
Like what do you mean? Like what could, I mean, I think it's weird, but what could be bad?
Well, that's probably what they're doing is the law of attraction.
Oh, they're harnessing that and kind of.
Yeah.
Well, does that make it something different than it is? Or they're just calling it something?
I don't know.
Like, are they like, I wonder if in Christianity, if they're truly doing that, like using the law of attraction and like somehow spinning it and using it for healing, does that make it bad or wrong or just different than they thought it was? And is it all, if it's all healing, does it really even matter? I mean, these are all the questions that.
Maybe that book will tell you.
I think I need to order that book.
Maybe Beverly will let you know.
Maybe Beverly.
Okay. Got two quick emails and we're going to be out.
Can I call her Bev?
Bev.
We could be on a first name, nickname basis.
Leslie, Lucy writes in, first, thank you so much for the truly amazing work you're doing to get valuable health information out to us all. We can't thank you both enough. Secondly, I remember you doing a show on a cream that one of the people you interview applied to the skin cancer and it dropped off. I remember you ordering it to have just in case. Was it Black Salve? I have tried to find it in your archives, but can't. I have a friend who has been recommended to cut out a cancerous mark on her face, but she would like to do it naturally. Thank you again and keep shining your amazing message.
Oh,
tons of love and laughter your way. How funny.
She says how that. Funny.
Lucy.
We needed that. Oh, I love her name.
Lucy. Isn't that the name of what's that name's character in that movie that you watch every Christmas?
Oh, I love that. While you were sleeping. Sandra Bullock's character.
Sandra Bullock.
Great.
Yes, that was Black Salve. You can get that from herbhealers.com. We'll put a link to that. Herbhealers.com is a place to get, they call them escharotics. So those are herbs.
Wow. It's a word you don't throw around lightly.
Yeah. Don't say that in mixed company.
Yeah.
they're herbs that are, you know, from the Amazon, and what they do is essentially is burn out a lesion, a cancer, or something like that. And they'll go pretty deep.
Oh, so
too.
You don't want to take that lightly, in all seriousness.
There's a guy named, can you write this down, Kate, if you have
okay,
a second?
Got it.
There's a guy that wrote a book about how he pulled cancer out of his back.
Oh, gosh.
What was that called?
I'll just write a note here. We've seen that online. It's a trip.
Yeah, he had some sort of internal cancer that usually typically...
A tumor, right?
Yeah, people only do black salves for skin stuff, but he pulled something out of his back. He's got these pictures. But be very careful with black salve because it is incredibly strong and powerful and can scar you for life. It's got to be done in the right way. So check it out. Herbhealers.com would be the thing to look into for skin issues with the C word. And what I would also do is look into the work of Rick Simpson. We'll put a link to his show that we did, episode 70. And he has a hemp oil that's used, it's made in a specific way that people use for cancers of all kinds.
I wish I could have been on that show. That's before I started.
He was an angry man that day.
Wow.
Yeah, he went crazy. No, he wasn't.
He's
angry.
Fired up.
We're going to try to get him back on again.
Yeah, right?
One other question from Cole. Hey, Justin, I'm a big fan of your show and have been listening to you guys for a while. I'm 19 years old and have been struggling to heal my eyesight for the past year. I've been doing a lot of research on myopia, and one book recommended seeing a naturopath who knows iridology and works with homeopathic remedies. All right. Okay. So if any of you guys in the chat room know about eye health in the chat room, let's help Cole out here.
Okay.
And then I'll offer some of my thoughts and then we'll close out the show.
Okay.
I was wondering if you know of any naturopaths or holistic oriented healers who could help me with my eyes in the San Diego or Southern California area. My brother's also suffering from severe IBS. If you guys know anyone who could help him out, that would be great.
Wow.
Any enlightened people here in the chat room know about eye health? Let's take a look here.
We're waiting.
Let's take
no pressure anyway.
No pressure. This is just like it's like trivia. Like Alex Trebek.
Do,
what is that?
Do, do.
Yeah.
Is that Jeopardy?
Jeopardy.
Jeopardy.
Okay, so
what are your thoughts?
My thoughts for eye health are look into the work of a guy we had on our show. What was his name? Dr. Edward Kondrat.
Oh, his book.
Yes.
Wow, we had that book. It's awesome.
We do. Mm-hmm. And he's an incredible guy. I believe you can work with him over long distance too. You want to look at something called the Biomodulator from Dr. Jerry Tennant. That helps to restore the voltage in the eyes and anywhere else as well.
What is that kind of a machine? Is it like a small machine?
It's a small machine. It's going to be a few thousand bucks.
Oh my gosh.
But if you're looking at losing your sight,
well,
you know, you'll do anything.
Yeah.
I would avoid cooked fried foods as they tend to coagulate particles that are microscopic, but they can lead to eye pressure from what I've read. and create glaucomas and things like that.
Wow, we have Evan in the chat room weighing in on this one. This is interesting.
Yeah, what do you got?
He said there was a guy on Hay House Summit who healed his eyes with lucid dreaming. It was incredible. Charlie Morley. That's awesome. And he put a link to it. I haven't heard that specific one. So.
On this, Evan, is this 2015? I'm curious.
I'm assuming.
It must be, yeah.
I've only gone through a handful of them.
Yeah.
Crazy. That's something to look into.
You realize what the body is made of. Oh, also for the eyes, good healthy fats are going to be really great. Also, high antioxidant foods. Mm-hmm. Eliminate things that are going to cause issues, all the typical things like grains and digestive issues and things like that. But I would recommend getting this book or listen to the show that we did with Dr. Kondrat. But talking about what we found recently about the geolocation.
Oh, gosh.
And the eyes. If you're interested in what's possible for the human body for someone who's blind, we'll put a link to a video that you guys are going to love. It is absolutely incredible what this guy is doing through the use of sound and being able to navigate, drive cars, and everything.
Should we say a little bit about what it's about?
Yeah, it's called echolocation. Yeah. And it's incredible that the human body has the ability to do extraordinary things when you remove other senses. Isn't that bizarre?
It's like everything. Well, it's like when you remove your gallbladder, you can live and yes. All your other organs will start sharing the burden.
Exactly.
It's like it finds another way.
Because like David Icke says, we're a hologram.
Mm-hmm.
So the other organs, like your lungs, could take over for your gallbladder in
so
some strange way.
I know.
Because, yeah, the part is equal to the whole. And what this guy's doing with echolocation is just incredible.
He's basically, was he blind? He went blind when he was really young, didn't
mm-hmm.
he? Yeah. And he uses... When you told me about this, I was like, what? I have to watch this video. I can't even imagine what you're talking about. But basically, it's the use of different clicking sounds with your tongue that uh-huh. you can navigate your way around.
Yeah.
It's nuts. Driving, and riding your bike, you're not crashing into things all by sound. It's crazy.
It's bizarre. And his contention is that the traditional way of training blind people is causing blind people to act in such a way as they realize they have a disability. But what he's saying is that no, humans are capable of much more than we can ever imagine. And when he does the clicking sounds, the vibration, the sound wave travels to whatever it hits and bounces back and comes back to him. And he can tell if he's standing in front of a pole,
a car,
he's standing in front of a car,
a beam, a hill.
It's incredible.
It's wild. I've never seen anything like that in my life.
Yeah, I'll put a link to that.
How did you come across that anyway? Like, how did you get turned on to that?
Facebook, which I'm no longer part of. Echolocation. All right. I think we have to go, right?
Yeah. In a few minutes, we have a meeting, a consult with the naturopath about my pancreas.
Look at this. Michael in the chat room. Come full circle. Carrots are great for the eyes.
I just said that too. I'm like, yep. I was thinking the same thing. We started with carrots. We're going to end with carrots.
We're going to end with carrots. Okay,
we didn't
cool.
really start with carrots.
What is Charlie Morey? Is that the
Yeah, that's
Dream?
The Hay House one.
Oh, wow.
Interesting,
take a
right?
Look at that. And by the way, too, if you're listening to this on your iPod or whatever, don't forget to text 33444. Text Get Healthy to 33444. And what we'll do is we'll make the show notes available on this particular episode as well. We'll go through and put all the links that people shared in the chat room. But also, we're doing shows commercial-free now, so I want to let everyone know that if you want all of our shows to remain commercial-free, and please consider doing this, is go to extremehealthradio.com/join and consider donating 50 cents, a buck, or whatever you can afford per show. You can do that on that page. It's our Patreon page. And if you have Facebook, which is one of the good things that Facebook's good for, is you can sign up for Patreon. It takes you literally less than a minute to sign up and donate, 50 cents. And you're not even charged at the time that you make the donation. You're only charged once a month, but it shows it as a per show basis. So right now we're doing 4 shows a month and you can set your maximum on there too. So if you don't want to give more than $4 a month, you can just donate $1 per show. And if we do 6 shows a month, then you'll still only be charged for $4. But we do really need your help because we desperately want to stay commercial free. We think the shows are better that way.
People seem to like them. I really hope we can keep it this way.
Yeah, let me put a link to our our Patreon in the chat room to hear. Cool. We just got a private message for asking for a link. So
oh, right on.
Yeah, if you guys can support us via Patreon, like I said, you're not charged at the time that you make the donation. You're only charged at the beginning of each month, and it does help us tremendously. And so we're trying to stay commercial free so that we can do really good shows for you guys. So Amazon is another great way. And also we have our store where we have saunas, rebounders, the rebounders we talked about, the biomats, all kinds of blenders and juicers and cool stuff.
Yeah, health.
Health related.
So we can go gadgets. Live our lives, right?
So we can not focus on health and laugh and push each other over in the bushes.
I don't know what that lady was talking about earlier, but I think we talk about a lot of somethings, not a lot of nothings. And this show was packed.
I know.
That
was
she missed
good.
Out.
Yeah, you missed out. That's what happens. You got to stay to the end, right?
Right.
And I want to thank Paul Wright, who's in the chat room right now. Thank you so much, Paul, for making this show possible and getting our audio ramped up to make it sound better. So we appreciate that a lot.
I'm sure everyone in the chat that has followed us live for a while just really, really sees the difference. And here is, I guess I should say, here's the difference with these live shows, thanks to Paul Wright. So, Paul, you're our hero.
Yeah, thank you. You want to close out the show?
Yeah. What are you typing away over there? Fast fingers. Yeah, we hope you guys seriously have the best weekend wherever you are in the world. And we just thank you guys for making it so much fun. That was such a blast today. And man, we are surrounded by such knowledgeable people. And we're all on a journey. And we just love you guys. And this is just, it's really, really an honor and a privilege to be hanging out with you every Friday morning. So
yeah, it's awesome. It's a lot of fun. And we're supposed to end, we're having so much fun. We're supposed to end like a half an hour ago, but we just got riled up.
It was perfect. I love that we can sit here for almost 2 hours and not have to go to the bathroom.
I know, right?
We've done pretty good. I made sure I didn't drink a whole bunch of water before, and we're doing good.
We're doing good.
Yeah, I made it. I made it a full show.
On our Instagram, I'm posting pictures of my daily designer water. And
Your designer water.
Water. So I need to make this after.
What is it, real quick? What's in your designer water?
It's the Stelman cocktail, I like to call it. No, it's just water purified with our Berkey water filter, which we are big fans of. And then I take that purified water and I add vitamin C powder to it, which is the Health Force vitamin C. I add 1 tablespoon. I do 64 ounces, so it's about 2 mason jars full. And
that's a lot.
I do 1 tablespoon of vitamin C powder, a few shakes of sea salt, Himalayan pink sea salt. A 1/2 teaspoon of apple cider vinegar, and
don't you put it? I see a slice of ginger in there every now and then.
Ginger and cucumber,
and that's it.
Yep.
Did you say lemon?
Oh yeah, I squeeze a full lemon into
that
too.
Full lemon, okay.
Yeah,
and that's what we call your designer water.
Designer water, the Stelman cocktail.
I love it. It looks amazing. I've tried a couple sips actually.
Hey, Evan's drinking salt water as we speak.
Nice.
I love it. That's awesome.
Get the good old adrenals going.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Really appreciate it. I hope we shared some ideas with you to get you thinking and get you hopefully turned on to Phil Hendry and laughing and having fun. Right?
And pushing your friends in the bushes.
Pushing them over in the bushes. So it's cool. We love you guys. And if we can ever help you guys, please let us know. Thank you for your support on Amazon, on Patreon. Bookmarking on Amazon link and doing donations and things like that and going to our store. We really, really appreciate it out there.
And we love that. And we will catch you guys on the next episode.
Hey, everybody. This is Josie, Justin's mom. Don't tell him, but I know he would absolutely be really happy if you would sign up to his free weekly newsletter. And don't forget to share this with all your friends. This is the buzzing bumblebee signing off.
That was so good.
Hello.
Oh my gosh.
Thank you for listening to this episode.
It's time to go for now, but our mission does not end with this show.
Justin and Kate will be back with another interview packed full of ideas, discoveries, and unique ways to regain your health.
Head on over to extremehealthradio.com/subscribe and instantly download our free gift too that contains cutting-edge strategies to start making healthy lifestyle changes today.
No material on this blog is intended to suggest that you should not seek professional medical care. Always work with qualified medical professionals, even if you educate yourself in the field of live food, nutrition, and alternative medicine. I'm not a doctor, nor am I offering readers medical advice of any kind. None of the information offered here should be interpreted as a diagnosis of any disease, nor an attempt to treat or prevent any disease or condition. While information in this blog is discussed in the context of numerous conditions, it can be dangerous to take action based on any information in this blog or to start any health program without first consulting a health professional. The content found here is for informational purposes only and is in no way intended as medical advice, as a substitute for medical counseling, or as a treatment slash cure for any disease or health condition, and nor should it be continued as such. Always work with a qualified healthcare professional before making any changes to your diet, prescription drug use, lifestyle, or exercise activities. This information is provided as is, and the reader slash viewer assumes all risks from the use, non-use, or misuse of this information.